Well, coming up on today's show, Formula E say no way to an electric Formula One. Nissan sell over 4,000 Leafs in Europe in July. And Tesla's competitors expect a tsunami of cars before 2022. Well, first of all, good morning, good afternoon and good evening, wherever you are in the world. Hello and welcome to the Sunday, the 12th of August edition of EV News Daily. It's Martin Lee here with the news you need to know about electric cars and the move towards sustainable transport. A quick shout to the Patreon First Fantastic 50. I checked my Patreon before I came out here. We launched it last Saturday, a week ago, and in 1 week, our first 50 supporters are helping bring this podcast to you, wherever you are around the world. Maybe you are one of those First Fantastic 50 Patreons, or maybe you're one of the many thousands who enjoy this podcast, and hopefully you learn something, occasionally entertained, maybe a few bits of information that you pick up that you pass on when you're talking about electric cars, or you hear it and you think, oh, that's kind of interesting, didn't know that before. Well, those 50 people are bringing this podcast to you. Thank you to them. I'm going to put a little page online with a very special thanks and list every single name. Our first fantastic 50 patrons. You know what? Whether it's a dollar or three or five or ten, I really appreciate it. And we'll see how quickly we can get the next 50 helping bring this podcast to people around the world. We'll call them the Hot 100. Well, let's start with Formula E, and they say no way, Jose, to the electric Formula One series. According to Jalopnik, Ross Brawn, who said recently that Formula One could go all electric in the next 5 to 10 years, Formula E wants them to back off. Apparently, it can't even do it until 2039. Well, Ross Brawn said, he said, I think Formula One will evolve in the direction that has the right balance of sports, relevance and engagement with the fans. That's in a video to F1 Fan Voice. In 5 years' time or 10 years' time, if there's a need, desire or wish to have a different type of power unit in Formula One, then we will do it. There's nothing to stop us having an electric Formula One in the future. Well, Alejandro Agag, who of course runs Formula E, responded to Autosport with this, and I quote, the earliest Formula One could go all electric is in 2039. If we don't renew our agreement with the FIA. You see, they have an agreement with the governing body. Formula One can't just start running electric cars. He says, and I continue, I don't see any reason why we shouldn't renew for longer. If they want to talk to me before then, of course, that's a different question. I'm always open to talking to people, but without talking to me, there is no way they can do anything fully electric. End quote. So from my opinion, I do see more electrification in Formula One, and it could well be 50-50. Even 75-25 in favour of electric power. Maybe it can't be for legal reasons, a full electric series, but it's definitely going to happen more and more as more people buy electric cars and realise that they're so much fun to drive. Well, The Drive says that there's no reason that Formula One can't take full advantage of the rapidly maturing electric propulsion technology with a mix of traditional combustion engine, a combination of those powertrains to get the best of both. So yeah, I guess what I was saying there myself, I can kind of see they'll stick with combustion engines to kind of keep the hardcore fan base of Formula One, but improving the batteries, improving the regen, all those kind of things. Fascinating little to and fro between those two big motor racing series. I'll put a link to The Drive article in the show notes and check out Autosport for Alejandro Agag's response from Formula E to Formula One. Well, let's take a look at some sales numbers. I always love to check out InsideEVs.com. Click on their little sales scorecard at the top because for years now they've been compiling the numbers. Always very reliable. Sales of the Nissan Leaf in Europe increased in July. Got last month's numbers in. Over 4,000 of them were sold, which is the second best month ever for the Nissan Leaf after 6,500 in March. Well, according to InsideEVs, European consumers really like the new Nissan Leaf. Sales in Europe are higher than sales of the Leaf in Japan, US and Canada combined. That number would be just over 3,500. A similar situation was noted in June. Well, preliminary data suggests that in July, Nissan sold just over 7,500 Leafs all around the world. They're being made in three different locations, one of those being in Sunderland in the UK. And certainly here in Europe, we do like the Nissan Leaf. I'm a little bit confused why it's not selling more numbers in Japan, and certainly in North America as well. In the US, It's the sales have been surprisingly low, and I can't quite work out why. Maybe it's the Model 3 effect. Maybe people are waiting for the larger battery. So those kind of people are likely to have gone online, done some research, maybe looked at some of the battery issues and some of the discomfort that early Leaf buyers of the new 40 kilowatt hour Leaf are experiencing. Certainly those that wanted to rapid charge many times, even a few people that I follow on Twitter have been getting particularly angry here in the UK, at least with Nissan, because they don't feel that their complaints are being heard at a sufficient volume. Let me say that without going too far into this. But there's a few very unhappy people who bought the new 40 kilowatt hour Leaf, think they were slightly missold. I should add, plenty more people have bought it and are delighted with it. There's a link to the Inside EVs article in the show notes. Well, thank you very much, by the way, to everybody who is helping to support the podcast. If you're interested in doing the same or even finding out more about what it's all about, you can check it out, patreon.com/EV News Daily. Well, moving on to Tesla's competitors. And every so often, I do like to take a breath, a pause, if you like, and remember that there's somebody listening to the podcast today. It's the first podcast they've listened to about electric cars, and maybe everyone's knowledge is at slightly different levels. So always good to do a little recap. And they've probably read, if you're new to electric cars, you've probably read in the mainstream press websites about Tesla and their cars. But what about the alternatives that are coming? They don't get as many column inches, do they? Well, let me tell you more about them with the help of Drive Mag. First up, they name the Jaguar I-Pace as being a car that you should be looking out for. It's on sale now, a direct alternative to Tesla's Model S, says Drive Magazine. Well, yes and no would be my comment on that. I think it's half a notch down from the Model X. I mean, the Model X is a big car and potentially a $150,000 car, which the Jaguar I-Pace isn't. And it's got incredible performance, 7 seats, all those kind of things. So it's in a slightly different league. However, I get where they're coming from. Prices are 10% less than the Model X at starting point, and like I say, that is on sale now in the second half of 2018. Look out for the Audi e-tron. Some people call it the e-tron Sportback. Some people call it the e-tron Quattro. It's the SUV that is also going for that lower-end Model X market. And that is going to be released, I think, as far as I know, correct me if you've seen anything differently, I think the Frankfurt Motor Show, which must be a month away or so, I think that's the first place we see the e-tron with no camouflage in its full glory. The Porsche Taycan, which was formerly known as the Mission E, which is a cool name. However, Taycan is what they've gone with instead most recently. That's targeting more of the top-end Model S buyer. This is a big Porsche, and it's coming to the market in 2019. They're already pre-ordering. If you've got Porsche money burning a hole in your pocket, you can certainly give some to Porsche, but you'll be waiting a long time for your Taycan. And it is one of those flagship models that's going to be very fast, very large, super luxurious. Not much gets said about the BMW i4. Well, the i4 sedan is going to join their electric lineup from 2020 onwards. And that's going to be one of the new BMWs built on a completely new platform than the current BMWs, like the i8 hybrid and the pure electric or the range extended BMW i3. Now, the BMW i4 will be targeting that Model 3 market, which by then, by 2020, with the 420,000 Model 3 outstanding orders, deposits already put down on those 420,000 Model 3s, although that number will be less because they're cracking through the production numbers, certainly by 2020, they'll have got through all of those and they'll be making new orders. And I wonder how the BMW i4 will compete at that time. It's impossible to tell apart from gazing into the crystal ball. The Mercedes EQC we talk about a lot because it's getting very close now. It's definitely being launched in 2019. We just don't know exactly when. Daimler are certainly throwing a lot at this, by the way. And I've got a comment at the end of the podcast. If you want to stick around for the comment section at the end, and a really valid and wise comment about the way Mercedes are producing their cars, and you might agree with one of the comments from YouTube that I want to get to today. The Mercedes EQA, well, that's 2020, and again, that's up against the Model 3. What about Polestar? Well, in the next couple of years, the Polestar 2 will be around. Polestar 1, which I caught up with in the flesh for the very first time at the Goodwood Festival of Speed a few weeks back now. Man, it's beautiful. It's big. It's gorgeous. The design of the Polestar is just next level. There's very few cars that I see these days that I just have to stop and watch. Now, the Polestar 1 at the Goodwood Festival of Speed was on a rotating kind of circular spinning stand, and I must have seen it do 10 rotations. From every angle, utterly beautiful. The design language of Polestar is just gorgeous. Of course, that's the spin-off of Volvo. Well, the Polestar 2 isn't going to be a hybrid like the Polestar 1. The Polestar 2 is going to be pure EV, and that's going to be making its first appearance at the 2019 Geneva Motor Show. And that will be in showrooms, hopefully, by the end of 2019, beginning of 2020. Price tag around $40,000 on that. And whilst all that is happening, it's not like Tesla are standing still. They say on the earnings call last week, Elon Musk said that he has in his sights an annual production of 500,000 to 600,000 cars from the current Fremont factory. Well, there's Gigafactory 2, which is looking after their solar production. Gigafactory 3, though, is going to be the first Gigafactory that is integrated cell production, battery production, and car production all under one roof. It's going to be in Shanghai, as we found out in the last few weeks. And those two factories combined should ramp up Tesla to a million units, certainly by 2022, within the next 4 years. Tesla making, going from a small niche boutique car maker of top-end cars. This was always the plan, of course. And then a million units by 2022, 2 million units by 2025 is the plan. And Shanghai's Gigafactory being crucial to that. And we should hear by the end of this year, Gigafactory 4, which will be in Europe, Germany, the most likely at the moment, but plans, certain things are being suggested that change all the time. Elon Musk has said, though, that it's essential that gigafactories are built on every continent to enable cars to be shipped to you as soon as you order them, as quick as possible, as cheap as possible. Well, when you've got your nice new shiny electric car in the driveway, on the street outside your house, hopefully tucked up in the garage if you have one of those, the most heartbreaking thing would be to find out it's stolen. However, it turns out thieves aren't very good at stealing electric cars because they get in them and can't drive them. Well, particularly Teslas. Every stolen Tesla since 2011 has been recovered except three. Well, Quentin Fottrell for the New York Post has picked up on this story and has been talking about how Tesla's remote software updates have kept pace with the increasing prolific production line of actually making them. No mean feat to get a stolen Tesla across state lines as well, says the New York Post, because if you are trying to move it quickly across state lines, you're going to need to use a supercharger. And of course, when you plug your Tesla into a supercharger, they'll know exactly where it is. Besides, the GPS inside the car that is always turned on will know exactly where it is. And according to new features which have recently been added to your Tesla app on your mobile phone, you can even restrict the speed of your car. Well, it's designed for maybe if you're having to hire it out on something like Turo on the app. Maybe you're giving it to the valet to do some valet parking. Maybe you leave it for a garage or a service center to fix, and you want to go onto your Tesla app on your mobile phone and just set the maximum speed to 20 miles an hour, maybe 70 miles an hour if you're lending it to a friend or relative or you're hiring it out. Well, if your car gets stolen, open your app and turn the car off. The actual ability to hack into a Tesla is also getting increasingly harder because Tesla are a Silicon Valley software company first, and a car manufacturing company second, if you ask me. Not everyone agrees with me, but I think they are a tech company first, more than a company that presses bits of metal into a certain shape. So they are keeping up with the thieves and the technology. Most of the top 10 stolen vehicles in the US are mass market models, easy to steal. They're stolen for body parts and airbags and anything that thieves can sell to third-party service shops. Of course, if you have an expensive Tesla, you'll want that to go back to Tesla, to one of their service centres. And the service centres aren't really in the business of buying knocked-off body panels. Therefore, highly unlikely to be stolen. And even if it is, they just can't drive it. Well, let's talk about Faraday Future and the FF91. Faraday Future has had, let's be generous, and I'm being very generous today. I'm not going in too hard on anybody. They've had a bumpy ride so far. This is an update on the FF91. In case people have forgotten about what the car looks like since its launch. They've now launched a 3D tour. Digital Trends have pointed out that Faraday wants to remind you of what you're waiting for. Go to the 3D tour on the website, which is 3D.FFF.com, and you can take a virtual walk around the FFF91. So a recap on the specs: 130 kilowatt hour battery pack. We first saw the car at CES in 2017, and that was the unveiling. 378 miles of range on a charge, and the powertrain has three electric motors for over 1,000 horsepower. A great car, struggling to be made. We saw recently pictures of the first shells being made, and in that article, Faraday Future were talking about them being in customers' hands by the end of this year in 2018. I don't know why I'm saying that with such surprise in my voice. Let me try and change that. Be in customers' hands by the end of 2018. No surprise in my voice at all. Seriously, good luck to them. We wish, on this podcast, we wish everyone the same luck, and try not to favour anyone above anybody else. Well, let's talk about Audi. Meet the new Audi e-tron, says one of the American dealers. I was having a flick around US dealerships online. Man, I really know how to spend a good weekend, don't I? And I went onto the Audi Denver dealership website to see what they're saying about the e-tron. A little bit of research for you. I'm guessing you don't want to be doing this with your time, which is why you're more than happy for me to do it. Look, I enjoy it. This is what I call fun. Meet the new Audi e-tron, says Audi Denver's dealership website. The first ever pure electric Audi that will change the way you take on everyday drives, end quote. Well, I mean, it's the first ever pure electric Audi if you count it as being the second ever pure electric Audi, because they've made one already. But for the sake of this, let's go with first, even though it's second. They made an all-electric Audi R8. Weren't they $1 million each? And they closed the program down. But hey, somebody somewhere owns an all-electric Audi R8. That was the first one. Anyway, sorry, Audi Denver, where were we? Here we go. You can reserve a new Audi e-tron starting this September at our Audi dealership in Denver, Colorado. Contact Audi Denver to learn more. Find out a release date and price. I'll put a link to the show notes if you want to see how certain dealerships are talking about the Audi e-tron, which, by the way, when I've seen official Audi press releases, for instance, they always call it the Audi e-tron Quattro, and one of their dealerships here just calling it e-tron. So I think e-tron is going to be used as the umbrella name of all of their electric cars. So for now, we'll call it the e-tron Quattro, even if their own dealers aren't. Right, two more stories, and let's go to Auto Express for this one, because we're going to talk about Volvo / Tesla. Tesla has secured the services of a young British designer behind the radical looks of the Volvo XC40. Auto Express can reveal, I'm really loving the design language of Volvo and their spin-off Polestar at the moment. And now we know why one of their hottest designers has been poached by Tesla, because clearly Tesla think the same as well. Auto Express understands that his name, Mr. Kettle, has started work as a senior designer with Tesla only a few weeks ago, and it's part of a team which reports into their design director, the former Mazda man, Franz von Holzhausen. The move is a bold one for both parties. Tesla likely to be hard at work on the next generation of its Model S. Now, it was 2012 that the Model S really had its shape imprinted into all of our brains, and with only a little minor facelift along the way, it's time for a new look for the Model S inside and out. And of course, we have the Model Y coming as well. So I wonder what he will be working on, one of the hot designers from Volvo now designing Teslas. And finally, Volvo's owner, well, that would be Chinese giant Geely, could be investing £1.5 billion in cash as an injection into Lotus, according to a report by the financial broadcaster Bloomberg. Comes after Geely took a majority share in Lotus only last September, less than a year ago, adding it to a growing number of their automotive brands under the manufacturing giant's umbrella. Volvo in there, the LEVC, the company that makes those really cool London electric cabs, and now a majority shareholding in Lotus as of last year. According to Jordan Katsianis, working for Evo magazine, Geely's plenty of experience in reinvigorating established brands, which they did with Volvo, and an impressive rise from Volvo being a pretty niche, sort of a quasi-premium brand, to one that can be easily mentioned in the same breath as Mercedes, BMW, and Audi. Yeah, Geely are doing a great job with Volvo, by the way, and I love the way their cars look, and also the way they're moving forward with electrification. All of them, one of the first big manufacturers to say all of our cars will be electrified, which a lot of the mainstream press picked up on and said, Volvo's turning all their cars electric. Yeah, not quite. But electrified was the actual phrase, and certainly they're doing some beautiful conversions of existing combustion cars to make them hybrids and also pure electrics as well. So thank you very much for listening to the news today. Let's get on to some of your comments, your suggestions. You really have been excelling yourself in the comments section lately, and I've been utterly rubbish at passing those comments on. For people who maybe listen to the podcast but don't get to check out YouTube, because we do put the audio on YouTube, by the way, thank you very much to all of those who picked up on something I was saying about Mercedes, and that was the style of the Mercedes EQC, their SUV, and how it is just a regular car. And I was saying, is that because they don't want to scare buyers off with having something that looks a little bit different? Even though the Jaguar I-Pace, for instance, was designed to be a pure electric car from the ground up, blank sheet of paper. That means you can move the front seats way forward, loads more room in the cabin, and you've got the wheels really on all four corners of the car. So I love the design of the I-Pace. It's just, it makes so much sense when you look at it. However, Mercedes are going with a car that looks just like any other Mercedes SUV. And the user on YouTube, HitStirrer, be careful how I say that, says, I think that the front end styling with cars won't change because they need subframes there to carry the wheel and suspension structures. The main issue is over crush zones and passenger protection. On that basis, a long nose does provide more safety, this person says, than a move towards a stubby nose. Tucker Garrison, who was saying, it's great that BMW, Mercedes and Audi are rushing to attempt to match Tesla's success. They may be able to match the performance, but he thinks it's a long time before they catch up on other things. And Tucker points to over-the-air updates. I must agree with him on this. Over-the-air updates, fast charging infrastructure, and the self-driving software and hardware. He says it'll be fun to watch it all unfold. I do agree with you on over-the-air updates. It's something that once you've experienced on your mobile phone, for instance. I mean, my TV does over-the-air updates. I turn it on sometimes and it says, hey, we have a new update from Sony. Would you like to install it now? And you, yeah, of course. Okay, fine. Do a hardware update. Your mobile phone, you're used to your phone doing updates. Your tablets do it as well. Anything that's driven by software, which cars are increasingly being done, needs to be updated regularly. The idea of taking it back to a building that you've got to drive to is already, in my mind, outdated. And if you want to see what we've been saying over the past 208 episodes, they're all online for free, and you can download any one of you want, any one of them that you want on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, YouTube, TuneIn, Stitcher, and the blog at evnewsdaily.com. If you subscribe, well, you get them first and free and automatically. Would you do one? If you do one tiny thing for me, it would be share this podcast with somebody that you know on a online, on your socials, someone who's EV curious. It would mean the world if you pass this on to somebody who would get anything from it. In the meantime, come and say hi on the socials. Just search EV News Daily. Have a wonderful day. I'll catch you tomorrow.